All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a hot topics, and we got some pretty hot ones, hotter than a Canadian bushfire today. So it's going to be a good one. But before we get into it, guys, you know the drill. Pay the fee. But today is kind of a different kind of fee. We're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going off script now. So I got to grab this. So June 25th. We've been working behind the scenes for a while now on something really, really exciting. So June 25th, we're launching a business called FarmerGrade. And it's our direct-to-consumer meat business that we're going to be able to sell our pork directly to you guys. And it's going to be from our farm. So this is something that's been a dream of mine for a very, very long time. And the website's going to go live June 25th. It's going to be a pre-buy website, meaning we don't have the inventory up front. You're going to pre-purchase a box, and that's going to help me kind of fund the drop. And then the pigs are going to be going to the processor July 20th. And then in August, we'll be hand packing your orders in our own warehouse. We just recently signed a lease on a warehouse here in our local town. And so it's going to be coming from our farm, going to an American family-owned butcher shop, and then going and being hand packed in our own warehouse. And it's there's a lot that I want to unpack on FarmerGrade, kind of the idea behind it all the steps that went into it. But for now, we're going to do a whole episode on it. But for now, if you guys want to support us and support this show and support our farm, the biggest thing you can do is head over to farmergrade.com, enter in your email address, and come June 25th, go buy a box. But I will say, there's only 500. So if you want a box of meat and you want to support us, support the show, support the farm, you got to go get a box and get it fast. Because once they sell out forever. And that's the biggest thing you can do to help us today. That's the thing that you can help us the most for this show. And you can leave a review. If you want to have add a little extra on there, you could leave a review on Spotify or Apple. But head over to farmergrade.com, and that's where your support would be really, really appreciated right now.
Wow. Yeah. That was a hell of an opening.
Yeah. I went off script. I went off script, so I wasn't as down to my point. But
and if you buy a box, don't worry. I'm doing all the accounting, so your money is as safe as if it was insured by the FDIC.
Oh.
Well, no, it's safer than that. Don't worry. You're going to get your box. Don't worry. So I'm super excited. It's going to be good.
This has been a dream come true for me anyway. And I mean, we haven't done shit yet, but just getting to this point has taken a lot of time and effort. And I am so, so excited to be able to offer this to you guys and the people that watch our farm channel. It's going to be big. I got big plans for it. And we're going to do a whole episode on it. So you guys will get the lowdown on June 25th. We're going to release an episode exclusively talking about the development of FarmerGrade and what we're going to be trying to do there. So tune in for that. That's when the next episode will be coming out. But that's all I got for the opening.
Since we're going off script and it's hotter than blazes in Southeast Iowa, bone dry. If you want to see your corn unrolled, you got to get up pretty early in the morning because it starts rolling pretty darn quick. So I'm going to give you the market update, but we decided that since it's this hot, hell, we might as well do the whiskey minute before because we're probably going to be sipping as we go. And I got to thinking as I was working on the outline for this because we're going to talk about a lot of things, but we're going to kind of follow a theme. And we've done all these bottles of whiskey, and there's many more to go. But, you know, we don't want you to think that we're too fancy here at Barn Talk. And I still like my old staples. And so today, we got the Bucky cup. We each got a Bucky cup. We picked these up on the way back from Florida. We should have gotten like a dozen of them because everybody wants one. And we are simply drinking today the old go-to Crown Royal, the finest blended Canadian whiskey, which some whiskey purists might say really isn't even whiskey. And I did not know this, but to make bourbon or whiskey, well, if that matter, if you're going to make scotch, there's standards. There are standards that you have to follow, and they're very rigorous. And about the mash bill and about the barrel and about what you put in it. However, if you go to Canada, apparently you can put damn near anything you want in it. You can add color to it. You can add flavoring to it, which is probably why, as a youngster, I enjoyed Crown Royal. Actually, the reason I enjoyed Crown Royal is because we started out on Southern Comfort, and compared to Southern Comfort, this stuff's like butter. However, still one of my favorite drinks is a little Crown Royal and some Coke or Pepsi. You know, when I go to a bar that I know for a fact they can't make a decent old fashioned, and there's a few of them out there, I'll just order Crown and Coke because, or unless I order something straight, but if I'm only there for a short amount of time and I know I'm driving home, I'm probably not going to order it straight. I'll just have Crown and Coke. So my review is that it's still as good as ever.
It's hard to beat. Crown and Coke is real hard to beat.
And it's a hot day.
It's hard. It's better. Shout out to all you guys that do Jack and Coke, because I don't know how people drink Jack Daniels, but I am not a fan of Jack. I'm a fan of Crown and Coke. Captain and Coke, I can do those, but yep. Crown's my go-to of the Coke mixers.
We're feeling especially unsophisticated today. Yeah. So, yep. Cheers to us.
Cheers to us. Cheers to Farmer Grade.
Mm.
Cheers to Farmer Grade.
Cheers to Farmer Grade.
Yep.
Cheers to Bucky's.
Cheers Shout to you to guys. Bucky's. Cheers to you guys.
All right, we got that out of the way. Let's do a little market update. So, corn went off today, off as it went up. It was up 14 cents when I checked it, and that was a little before the close. So 620 is where it was on the board. I'm not sure exactly where it closed at. So the local prices I got are off of yesterday's close. So I think you probably, depending on what they do with their basis, they may not give you all this. But yesterday, ADM in Eddyville, Cargill and Eddyville, they had a hot bid of $6.68. So you could easily put 10 cents on that. Maybe they'll be higher than that. And $6.53, the local feed mill I could find. Beans today, $14.21, and that's up 33 cents. So that bid in Burlington that was $13.98, be well over $14. And Quincy had a $14.21 bid. Basically what it comes down to is bone ass dry. And like our corn, if you go out now, it's rolling. It's
chugging along, but it needs a drink.
Yeah, the roots, it keeps rooting down, and there is moisture there. I've got a neighbor that's got a few cows that run along a creek on the way to town, and there's still a little water in there. I think it might still be flowing a little bit, but I can't imagine that's going to happen very much longer. The hillsides are really starting to see stress. And if you go south of us, you don't have to get very far. You know, we're in the bottom two tiers of the state, which by some people's standards means we're already in Missouri. But we'll say no on that. But Missouri is really tough. That northeast part of Missouri is, a lot of that corn is probably beyond repair, I feel like. So I don't know. We'll just have to see. But these markets are driving on rain until it does rain, and then they're going to drive the other way. Wheat, $6.51. I threw bean meal in because we haven't done that in a while. $392 glorious dollars a ton. I'm glad I'm not making a ton of finished feed. Hogs, $91.20. So they switched to the July contract today, and for some reason hogs were up hard. I can't remember how much they were, but they were up. But they've been floating around $85 mark, so we'll see whether they can hold it here or not. Cattle, $1.77. Feeder cattle, $2.35 a pound. Crude oil, $70. I took the gold out. I took the silver out. Nobody cares. They don't ever change. Bitcoin, hell, I may take it out before long. It can't seem to do anything. $25,000. Ethereum, $16.52. Tesla, we haven't talked about Tesla in a while. That stock is going to absolutely crush from here. Ford threw in the towel. GM's thrown in the towel. They're going on the Tesla charger standard. So in other words, their cars are going to come with the plug that a Tesla charger plugs into, because they already know that Electrify America, Go America, all these other charging standards are straight ass. They're terrible. Tesla has by far the best charging infrastructure, and I would not be surprised if the first company to license Tesla's full self-driving software will be an American car company when it happens. Almost guaranteed, because Mary Barra, she can hear the ticking as to when her termination papers are signed, because she's a horrible CEO, but that's just my personal opinion. Budweiser, 58.37, is up a little bit last time I looked. And you were correct, sir. Modelo is now the number one beer in the United States. Yep. And it's been headed there. So I talked to the manager at our local Fairway today, and he just said that by their sales numbers, Modelo was headed that way anyway. He just said it looks like it was probably like a deal that it would have happened eventually anyway. The whole Budweiser deal just sped that up a little bit.
That is extremely surprising to me that Modelo is number one selling beer in America. I guess I need to get on the Modelo train. I mean, I've tried them once, but I didn't love it. But I guess I got to try it again.
So it must be excellent execution, because Modelo hasn't even been on the scene in the United States, I feel like, that long. When you think about Corona has been here forever.
I know, right?
What the hell did Corona do?
When I think about Hispanic beers, because Modelo is a Hispanic beer, right? If you go to a Mexican restaurant, you're getting a Corona or you're getting a Modelo.
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis is up there. But I always get a Corona. But I guess I need to change my tune a little bit and give it a better shot. I don't know if you put a lime in it. I don't know if you put something in it like a Corona, but...
Well, it could be maybe Modelo is brewed. Maybe it's a hops brew, whereas Corona, isn't that a corn? Isn't that a corn-based beer? I feel like I heard.
I won't change my tune if they're a corn-based beer.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll have to have somebody tell us in the comments.
So the only reason I left Bud in there is because this is foreshadowing. So coming up a little later in the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about issues that Budweiser is a perfect example of that.
Yep.
So that's the market update.
That's a good-ass market update.
That was the market update and the whiskey minute all rolled into 10 minutes.
We did 12 minutes. We're at 12 minutes here.
We can just stop now.
I know. That's the podcast. No, that was good. That was detailed. That was a little bit of a different intro than usual, guys. But, hey, we like to go off script sometimes. Today's kind of revolving topic... Dad literally has written down on the outline is, what's wrong with us? What is wrong with us here in America? Why can't we get our shit straight? Why can't we figure out stuff?
I don't know.
What's happening?
Like, I was thinking about topics, and there is a bundle of them. By the way, we're under a air quality warning. We're in the yellow because of the Canadian
bushfires.
So if you can't breathe very well...
Better stop drinking this fucking Crown right now.
I know, maybe.
The fucking Canadians.
They better be taking the water that goes to the distillery and be out there just, fighting the fire.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. They need to do their part. That's going to help their ESG if they take that water out there.
Well, their ESG score is going to hell in a handbasket with the amount of carbon there.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Old Justin Trudeau, he's probably pissing his pants. But
he probably loves it. He probably likes it. Yeah. I think he's running Canada into the ground just as much as Biden's running our country in the ground. And I think he likes it.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But
so we're thinking about all this, and I was like, is Trump going to make it? Like, is he going to get out all this and be able to actually run for president? Is the plan on to get him nailed down to where he just cannot run for president? Is that the reason they're doing this? I don't know. And then I'm like, well,
is Biden going to be able to make it stand up straight and not fall over?
There are plenty of aspects of farming that producers have no control over. But with propane, energy access isn't one of them. Since propane doesn't degrade, farmers can add more on-site storage for quick and easy access to energy without any interruptions year-round. Not sure how much propane you're going to need? PERC's grain drying calculator can help. Available for free at propane.com, farmers simply enter their acres, their estimated bushels per acre, and the optimum moisture they're striving for to determine the gallons needed.
Contact your local propane supplier to take advantage of fuel contracts and early fill programs now to maximize savings ahead of increased demand through harvest season and cooler weather.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if you're a Democrat, how much faith do you have that Joe Biden can actually make it to Election Day? And if he wins...
Do you want him to win? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if there's anybody out there that like him want him to win, but...
Well, so you got that going. We still got the war in Ukraine going.
Pride Month has been a huge deal. If you're active on Twitter at all, you just see all the crazy shit going on with Pride Month. I have no problem. We all know you've heard it a million times on this podcast. We got most people. We don't have any fucking problem with gay people, lesbians, whatever. Trans people even. As long as you don't shove it down your throat. Our throats. In Pride Month, there's a lot of shoving it down our throats all the time. Man. And there's a lot of stuff that's just, like, I get it if you want to celebrate it, but the way that sometimes these people celebrate Pride Month is just flat out disrespectful, and it's kind of disgusting sometimes. And, I mean, for example, I saw a video of a trans influencer that was at the White House and flashed their fake tits, took their top off, put their hands over their nipples, and had their tits out at the White House, along with another trans person that must have been transitioning to a man that took their shirt off, and they just had man nipples, and so they just had their shirt off. Because they were showing, you know, we're trans and we're proud and we're going to take our shirt off at the White House because we just feel like that's a good way to represent and show that we're proud to be trans. And it's just like, that's the kind of shit that just makes you really not, just makes you, that doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And it's just disrespectful, in my opinion, to that site, the Washington, D.C. as in general, but the White House, and the president was there, Biden was there, met them, and it just, there's all that kind of shit all over Twitter, all over the internet showing people all the controversy of Pride Month. There's tons of public schools out there that did a Pride Month day telling all the kids to dress up in rainbow colors. All the teachers are out in their hallways clapping, have decorations hung up, just shoving this shit down our kids' throat as much as they possibly can. And there was actually a story I saw of a middle school. These kids showed up. They were told it was going to be Pride Day tomorrow. And I guess a bunch of them got together that night and got in a text message thread, and they all said, show up in red, white, and blue, and your pronouns are USA. And so they went to school, and they started chanting, our pronouns are USA, and they started tearing down posters and stuff like that. Huge freaking deal. But all this to say, there's a lot of topics that could be talked about.
There are a lot of topics to be talked about. And as I was sitting there and I was going through it, I'm like, I don't really know what to start on, and I don't know, like, what is the hottest of the hot topics, and that whole thing about Pride Month and about you being told, you're just going to take this, and it got me thinking about men. And how men in America are basically under attack. And by that, I mean, what do you stand for? Like, what is your, what's your line in the sand as a man? Like, where do you say enough is enough? Because basically, we're being told that exceptionalism is the enemy. To be good at anything, to be excellent at anything, to strive to be
great
is that you don't want that. Instead, it's all about celebrating mediocrity, celebrating everybody being
weak
and submissive and the same. And so then I got to thinking, really, all of these other issues, the border, the deficit, trans rights,
gun laws.
It really isn't about any one of those things. All those things are nothing but a ploy, and we've said this before, to divide us, to divide this country to the point that you aren't paying attention as all of the standards of excellence that built this country are just kind of pushed away. And among that, you and I talked about this last night, is what's in a name?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does your name stand for? In your neighborhood, in your town, in your cul-de-sac, what are you known for?
What's your last name mean? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I believe they want to take away more than anything is pride in your last name, pride in your country, pride and proud of being an American. It's just like Dad said, it's as simple as putting plus size models and claiming them to be models. That is an example of mediocrity. What made a model, what makes art beautiful? That it's different and that it's exceptional. That's what makes art beautiful. It's something you've never seen before. And when you put a model out there that is just as big as the average American out there that's on the streets walking, it's a sign that it's okay to be mediocre. It's okay to be fat. It's okay. And it's the same thing with, I talked to Dad about this last night. Look at the buildings we're building nowadays. In the 1800s and early 1900s, America's architectural like landscape and other countries too was so much different. It was so much more beautiful. It looked better. It was something there. Every little town had something that you couldn't find anywhere else. And I was sitting there saying, all the shit that's getting built now all looks the same. All the same skyscrapers all look the same. Houses look the same. Buildings all look the same. Why is that? And it's like, well, I believe they don't want you to feel connected to your little town, because if you're connected to your little town, then you're going to fight and stand up for your little town, and you're going to take pride in keeping your town, you know, beautiful, stand for America, be what it was founded on, your little town.
It's
right?
Exceptional. Your little town's exceptional.
Your little town's exceptional. They want to eliminate that on every freaking level. And it's easy to see. It's easy to see. People do not take pride in anything. Most people don't take pride in anything anymore, and they want that. They want to take away our pride in where we live, what we do for each other, and our last name, our namesake. They want to get rid of that. Because when you have a parameter, when you have those kind of parameters up against what they want you to be, if you have those parameters up against government, then government can't control you. They can't tell you what you're going to be and where you're going to live and what you're going to do. When you have pride and you stand up for shit, you have parameters. And they want to eliminate as many parameters as they possibly can so that they make a lot of people believe that government is the only answer, that we need to accept everybody, that we need to be mediocre, that we don't need to stand up for anything, that we don't want to take pride in our last name.
We don't want to offend anybody.
Like, so that, because heard this example too. Sorry, I'm going on a long rant here. I'm kind of, this is a fiery topic. And I saw a stat that I think Switzerland has as many guns, and I correct me if I'm wrong, I heard this from a video, and I heard this from well-respected people that I would believe what they have to say. And they looked it up, and I think it said that Switzerland has just as many guns per capita as we do here in America. Yet, they haven't had any school shootings in a very, very long time. And we just had one, I don't know, a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple days ago. Who knows? I don't keep track of it. But we've talked about that subject on here as well. When you're a man and you're told to act upon your feelings and you're told to not have any emotional control and you're told to just act how you feel and you have no pride in your last name, you have no pride. Because if you had pride for your last name, the last thing that you would do is go humiliate your whole entire family's lineage by going and committing a horrendous crime like that. You would never do that if you had pride in your family name.
Or purpose.
Or you had purpose. Or you had enough gumption and enough discipline and enough strong men around you to say, no, you don't act on your feelings. You have self-control. But they don't teach men that anymore. They don't teach young boys that anymore. They want to make us weak. And so that's kind of my two cents on things.
Yeah. So, like, as a man, like, what in, I didn't say this very well, but, like, you know, what are you known for? Are you known for the guy that can fix stuff? Are you known as the guy that if anybody is, you know, needs help with something that you can help? Or are you known as the guy that follows your woke wife to the library with your kids to the trans drag show read along? I mean, I am just like blown away at these kids that are being indoctrinated. And where are the men? Because these children that we are raising up today, those are the leaders of this country. Those are the people that are going to be running the show. And let's face it, Biden's era, which I can't believe how long they just hang on, those are the hippies. Those are the hippies from the 60s. And look what that's gotten us. So can you imagine, if we make it that far, what kind of a political class we're going to have with the generation that we're bringing up now? So, going back to Budweiser, Adolphus Bush III was the last chairman of the board of Anheuser-Busch, and the family made the decision to sell that company to InBev. For generations, since they came here, since their ancestors came here and started brewing beer, for however many generations, once they got to the point that they dominated the business, and you can, there's a sordid history of to how they made that work, and, you know, I'm sure that, I don't know how they got there, and I'm not going to debate it, but growing up, we all know that Budweiser was the king of beers. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri, the Dalmatian Dog and the Clydesdales and the 4th of July and NASCAR, Budweiser. They were the king of beers. They sell the company, and now you got this shit show. And they're no longer the king of beers. So one generation made the decision to sell their namesake. Now then, every generation to come has lost that legacy. That legacy is gone. I think as men in this country, we have got to get through our heads that what is our legacy? What are you What do you stand for? What is the line in the sand? What are you not willing to compromise? No matter what somebody says to you, no matter what hard conversation you have to have, no matter what friend you might not have at the end of that conversation, what is your standard that you will not deviate from? Because we have tried to coddle and make room for and turn just, I don't know, just ignore the problem and maybe it'll go away. And what's happened is our country already doesn't look anything like it did a decade ago. And feel free to argue with me that it's way better. And there are, you know, I love technology. And there are plenty of things that technology has done in the last decade that I'm very excited about. But socially and family-wise and generationally and legacy,
it worries me. I mean,
it's a mess.
It is a mess. And you know, I think that all those other issues we talk about on Hot Topics, because there is a shitload of them. There's shitload every week that come up. The largest issue is what is happening between common American folks. What Dad just said. We are losing what made America America. And they want to make men weak. They want to tell all the women that it's, you cannot stay at home. It's looked down upon to stay at home and take care of children. That you need to put your kids in public school all the time so that the government can teach you how your kids need to be an adult or teach them the ways of the life. They're telling you that, and they demonize women that stay at home and take care of their loved ones, right? They do all these things, and it's not just men. It's women, it's men, and it's the family unit. They want to go after the family unit because when there's no family unit that has standards, that has parameters, then that's an easy target to manipulate and be your slave, be your pawn, be whatever you want them to be. Whatever you say on CNN, on Fox, on whatever the big media machine tells you, They just soak it up because they have no parameters to run it through.
Every other political divide within this country is really, at the end of the day, that is, what'd I say? That's nothing but a diversion. It's a diversion to keep us drugged, to not realize that they are stealing your legacy, your family name, the pride you have in your community, your desire for excellence. There's no place in that. There's no place for that in the world that
they're painting.
They're trying to paint, mm-hmm. trying to build.
Yep. And that's why, you know, I don't know if any of you listen to Andy Frisella, but on his show, he likes to say, personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion. Because everybody always asks him, he goes on, he talks about issues going on in America, and people always ask him, what can I do to help turn this country around? They always ask him that. And he always says, personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion. If you set the standard in your household, in your community, there's a ripple effect there. People start to see excellence, and some may hate on it, but some may say, you know what? He's busting his ass, and that's motivating. You know what? I'm going to start busting my ass. And you set examples, and that's a trickle effect. And that's what we need. We need to strive for excellence. We need to have a line in the sand. You need to have a set of parameters, a set of morals and standards inside your own household that you're going to use kind of as your lens at looking at things in the world, anything that your kid comes home and tells you that they learned at school today, does that align with, and that could be anything, does that align with your morals and your standards and your parameters as a family unit? If it doesn't, are you going to go down there and chew the fucking principal's ass? Or are you just going to let him keep indoctrinating your kid? I mean, that's the kind of shit that is going on. And that is what we can do. At the end of the day, we can vote and we can set the standard. And I'm blessed to be in a industry and be born in a family where I feel like farmers and in agriculture and blue collar workers, there's kind of a standard there. There's legacy there. There's a lot of legacy here. And that's a big, I have not lost faith and I have not lost the importance of my family name. That is something that drives me every single day. And if you're somebody that has a family name that your past generations haven't done a really good job of, you know, setting the standard, you can be the fucking one that does. You can be the greatest generation to ever have that last name. And you could be the one to start right now and make that change. You can be that one. And that's what we got to start doing. Not just as men, men specifically, because come on, we got to do that. But women too, men, women, communities, households, we all have got to fucking stand up, set some standards, and strive to be great, because that is what makes this country so good.
Sorry to interrupt, but if you think this is good, you should check out our YouTube channel, This'll Do Farm. Like and subscribe. All right, let's get back to it. You know, where do you start? Like, where do you start? Well, social media is a wonderful. It gets a bad rap. I don't know. It probably gets an honest rap because there's people that spend way too much time on it and they can't manage their time. But it's so interesting in the fact that the people that are really successful in that genre or in that media, they don't really align. They don't really align with our culture. So you look at Tucker Carlson. He leaves Fox. They fire him. And he puts out a monologue on Twitter. And it has 23 million views.
In less than 24 hours.
Which is more than every other cable news show combined for viewership. So if the culture is really the way that it gets painted within the dead media, then why is so many people hungry for that version, that idea?
Well, it's the same with this show. Tell us if you think we're wrong here. I mean, tell us what you think. But we've heard from many people that we talk to that listen to this show that the reason that you guys love this show is it's all because you guys are thinking the same shit. And Tucker Carlson's monologue and Barn Talk and Andy Frisella's podcast and Joe Rogan's podcast and all these other people out there that are saying the shit that everybody's thinking but nobody wants to say on the mainstream media or nobody wants to say out loud in public, that's what people are hungry for. And that gives me faith. That gives me hope that we can turn this thing around, because obviously there's people are craving that. People are thinking those thoughts. But son of a gun, like, I think people have a hard time of just knowing what to do.
Right.
They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's back to what I was saying. You are living in your house. You have your family unit and you live in a community. That is what you can control. You can't control what's going on in Washington, D.C. You can't control the lobbying going on out there. You can't control that. You can vote and you can have an impact where you're at. And so set the standard.
Yeah, set the standard. And if you want to have impact, so within your family, there's people that depend on you. And you do set that standard. So it's the little things. Because if you can't do the little things, you can't do the big things. And so start with, you know, before everybody goes to bed, we're going to clean this place up. This is the standard. We're all going to have one meal together. Or at night, we're all going to sit down at this table and we're going to have a meal. And we're all staying here till everybody's done eating, and then everybody's going to help clean up. And that's like, no big deal. No big deal. But it's the little things that make a big difference. And it's the standard, and set those standards. And it amazes me. It amazes me. There are a few guys, and I'm not going to mention his name, but there's a guy that has a YouTube channel, and he pretty much has built just an absolute insane following, because what he does is he teaches through what he does on his own. He's kind of a homesteading guy, but he just shows you how to do
basic shit.
Basic shit, like how do you chop firewood? How do you stack firewood? How do you service a chainsaw? If you're going to buy a chainsaw, what do you look for in a chainsaw? Like how you arrange a tool chest? How, like, if you could only have 10 hand tools in your garage, these are the 10 I would have. Just how you do basic shit, how you change the oil in your truck, how to change a flat tire, like what I would carry in a truck or in my car or in my wife's car, what to have there in case for an emergency. And it's all stuff that there's some people, I'm sure, that watch that, that just, they take it for granted because they grew up in a household where there was a man that had a standard and had the burden of taking care of that family and had his shit squared away. But what we don't realize is now then there is a whole generation of kids, children growing up that are raising a family, and they didn't have that. They don't know any of that. And that the popularity of that tells me that people are craving that kind of stuff. And so if you're the guy in your neighborhood and you have skills, you know how to do stuff, help these people. Make yourself available. Be that guy. Be that standard. Be that the name. Be your name. Let your name be synonymous with knowing how to fix stuff, knowing how to help people out, showing people how to do whatever they need to get done. Mm-hmm. Because there's a shortage of people like that. And that's exactly what you're saying. That's not, you aren't the National Guard. You are just a guy in your neighborhood
that can make a difference.
But that's what we need more than anything else in this country today. We need people that are willing to be the standard and to be excellent. You don't have to be excellent at everything. You'd be really good at one thing. But
strive for excellence.
Strive for excellence.
Yeah. And I mean, we can sit here and you can name all the problems. Like, what has changed in America since then? It's all the things that we said. Demonizing women staying home. Making your kids go to public school, and that's being like, how much time do kids actually spend with their parents versus how much time do they actually spend talking to their teachers and whatever's being taught at school? How many households out there actually have a man still at home or a man that's setting the standard? How many families are teaching their kid about health and wellness and why exercise and diet is important? How many families out there are talking about finance and legacy and doing the little things like that? And how many families are doing that? I don't believe very many. And what the government does and what the school system teaches your kids right now is fucked up. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm genuinely scared. As a young man, I am genuinely worried about taking my kids to public school, and I didn't think I'd ever say that. But I am genuinely worried about it. because what I am seeing is an attack on our children to indoctrinate the living shit out of our children through the government. And as a future father, that leaves a real sour taste in my mouth. And I am going to do everything that I possibly can to sit down and communicate with my child. If they do go to public school, what did you learn today? And then when they learn something that is real messed up, that I don't agree with and I think is wrong, because we have standards, because we have parameters, because we have morals, I'm not going to just sit on my ass. I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to try to, I feel like the only way that these kids got a future is if there is a strong family unit with strong parents that are instilling the right things. And that's the only way we're going to make this future America more bright than what it looks right now. And that's how we're going to get back to being America.
Yeah.
And I know I've kind of been going around in the same circle about the same topic.
It's the same.
You can say this. I mean, there's so many reasons as to why. Like, I'm a guy that's all about control the controllables. You can only do what you can do, right? That is all you can do. And so I just look at it as a future father, like, man, I don't want my kids to end up like most kids are ending up right now. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to value our last name, to value the opportunity of living here in America in a free country, to value the relationship they have with God, to value where they live. And you know, I want those things, but it's being taught that you shouldn't honor any of those things. You shouldn't honor any of those things. And so why do we have so many problems? I think it's because of those things. They're getting rid of it all.
And every generation, I think we have taken for granted. We have just assumed that everything that has made America great somehow just is magically instilled into the next generation. And it's not. It's not. It has to be learned. It has to be taught. And if it's not taught, it's lost. And this is a little off the subject, but it tells you how quickly a society can fall away. This is a statistic that I heard today. I was listening to a podcast about the Russian-Ukraine war. And the question was posed as to whether or not Putin could be overthrown and whether or not Russia could somehow steer away from this war. And the guy that was talking about it threw this out, and it blew my mind. When the Soviet Union collapsed in the 1980s, so in 1986, that was really the last year within Russia that there was any access to higher education or to technical training schools within Russia. So what that means is today, the part of their society that had any college level education or technical training in trades or oil and gas or aerospace or engineering, any of that, the minimum age of somebody that had that training is 60 years old. Everything that's been done there, as far as their oil fields, as far as their aerospace, as far as their anything, has all been foreigners that they brought in because they do not have the people with the technical skills because their society has gone to shit. They are like one generation away from massive problems because now then they can't bring foreign people in to fix all the infrastructure and all the problems that they have. You're looking at the collapse of their whole society within my lifetime, within 40 years. And that's because their society was left to the political class, and the political class was hijacked by the intelligence class, which that's an extreme case. But when I say every generation has to learn what's important, that's why here it's like we've got a whole generation that's going to have to learn the trades, that's going to have to learn something other than web design or
being a
investment
YouTuber.
Banking or being an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to get all this stuff done. But I wanted to throw this out there, and I have given this before, but it's amazing that the fight against excellence, that's been around forever, and it'll be around forever, because I'm going to read to you a quote by Teddy Roosevelt. It's you know, when people say, what's your favorite quote? I usually can't give my favorite quote because it's too fucking long. But I have this on a board, and I have it written down, and I've handwritten it so many damn times trying to get it to where I can remember it, and I can't remember it. But Teddy Roosevelt gave a speech after he had served his term as presidency, and this was in 1910. And it's called The Man in the Arena, and it's not the entire speech. The entire speech, you could get it online, and he talks about a lot of different stuff. But this is to me, this is just as important a day as it was the day that he gave it, and it kind of falls in right with what we're talking about. So it's not the critic that counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done those deeds better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best, in the end, the triumph, or who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, who at worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with the cold and timid souls who never knew victory or defeat. And our country is full of people who will not strive for greatness. They will not take the chance to be great at anything, but they are more than fucking happy to sit on the sidelines and tell each and every one of us, oh, well, you shouldn't have done it that way. Well, if I was fucking doing it, I could do that. Yeah. Those people, fuck them. Because get off your ass and go try to do what we're trying to do. And that there's, I mean, millions of examples. So that same guy that I told you about that does a lot of videos on homesteading and you know, just doing this and that, he just said flat out he does not read the comments on his channel anymore, and he will not join any forum that's on some subject that he's interested in, because those forums are dominated by people who their sole desire is to just comment on everybody else's stuff as far as what they've done and tell them everything that they've done wrong and how they should have done it and how they don't know shit. And he's like, I don't need that.
They're not in their arena.
No, they're not in the arena. They are the cold, timid souls. And our country is being run by a bunch of cold, timid souls.
And they want you to be one too.
Exact 100%.
Yeah, 100%. I would say that striving for excellence is a constant battle, but it's a rewarding one. I strive to try to be the best version of myself I possibly can be, and it's not easy. But it is rewarding when you do have wins. And I always go back to one, that's probably one of my favorite quotes of all time, too, because man in the arena, everybody's on the sidelines telling you how you should do it or not do it, but they're not the ones actually in the arena. But you have one life. Do you want to spend your life on the fucking sidelines, not doing anything great, not striving for greatness, dogging it and dogging it and dogging it every fucking day? Do you want to look back on your life and say, well, fuck, I did an all right job. That was all right. I didn't add much value. I dogged it every fucking day. I was pretty mediocre, but hey, you know what? Just living somebody else's dream. Is that what you want? Or do you want to give this one shot at life a fucking real good try? Do you want to be in the arena, make an impact, set a standard, provide value to the world, provide value to this country? Or do you want to sit on the sidelines? We need more people to get their fucking asses off the sidelines, get in the arena. And there is greatness inside all of you. All of us, there's greatness inside all of us. We live in the best country, still the best country to ever be in. You know, if you're born here, you are in a fantastic fucking situation right out of the gate. And the opportunities that we have in this generation are so plentiful. No other generation had this many opportunities. No other generation had this many resources available to them to learn any skill, to meet as many people they want to meet, to start any business you want to start. The tools that can help you run a business or do whatever are plentiful in today's society. But we still want to sit and bitch and still say, oh, we're not meant for that, or I wasn't born to be that, because somebody probably in your life has indoctrinated you to think that. But you can be whatever you want to be if you strive for it, you set the standards, you work hard, and you believe in yourself. And I believe that if we want to turn the tide in this country, we have got to set standards, set parameters, have morals, and teach the next generation what it's like to be an American, because that's what made this country great, and strive for excellence, period. That is what we have to do if we want to change shit around. That's what we can control. And this is a hoorah, hoorah speech here, or podcast here. Well, I know we've gone long. We've kind of been doing this. But another thing that I'd like to say is, you know, if you're somebody out there that doesn't have much legacy to your last name, and I kind of mentioned this before, but legacy, I'm going to tell you something. When somebody tells you that legacy is important, oh, I'm going to be dead in 100 years and nobody's going to remember me, or nobody's going to remember what I did or what this family did, don't fucking listen to those people, because I'm going to tell you something. I know the fucking man that came here and settled on this ground that we sit on here today. Six generations ago, I remember the guy, I know the guy's name, Samuel Meek. I know his name. I know all their names. I know what they did to get here. I know what they sacrificed to get here. And that still drives the sixth generation, me, to this day. So if you think legacy does not fucking matter, I still know the person that settled this ground six generations ago. And that still drives me to this day. So yeah, you can sit there and say, oh, I'm not going to be remembered. But if you do something big enough, even if it's in just your family, you're going to be remembered. And that can have an impact on your future generations, because it has an impact on me to this day, six generations ago. And that's huge. So your family name means a shitload. It does. Because it can have a huge impact on future generations. It can have a huge impact on the people that are around you, yeah, while you're alive, too.
Not even your family, not your descendants. It can have a huge impact on the descendants within your community. And that's pretty powerful. And, you know, it's like our lives are like camping in the national park. Like, snow, you know, like leave the place better than you found it. And that's what we all need to do.
You got one shot. Do you just want to be? Do you just want to be? Honestly, do you just want to sit and be? Or do you want to do something that's memorable for the world?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. I don't know. I know I can tell you what I want to do, and I could fucking fail, but at least I tried. And at least I won't be sitting on my deathbed going, well, I wish I would have tried. I wish I would have tried. At least, you gave it a shot. You were in the arena trying, right?
Yeah.
God.
100%. And this, I just was thinking about this when you were talking, but isn't it funny how when you're striving, like when you're striving to do something, or if you are known as somebody that is a positivity person and you are somebody that is held up as you're this or you're that, our society, if you fail at all, they are right there to say, well, that wasn't very impressive. However, if you're the other way, if you're a complete freaking deadbeat and you're a deadbeat every day and you do one thing that's, abnormal, that's amazing.
Like, you know why amazing. That is?
Why?
Because most of the time, you're like most people.
Well, true.
And so most people relate to you. You don't make them feel worse about themselves because you're not striving for excellence.
Right.
Ever. You're right. On their level. And then when you do something a little bit above your level, you have all these friends, all these people that have been on your level, and then they'll congratulate you. But if you go too far, up that ladder, just watch how many fucking comments, how many people tell you congratulations after that. That's the problem. That is the problem we have in today's society. Everybody, that's it. No, not enough people are striving for excellence. Not enough people are striving to be more than mediocre. And if we all would just get off our ass and strive for that, have standards, we could do a lot of fucking good. I believe we could do a lot of good and make a lot of good changes and change the direction of this country and where it's going. And I know there's a lot of shit like corrupt politicians and corrupt corporations out there that do some shady ass shit, but we outnumber them. We outnumber them. And what we do, enough of us do that, we can make some change. I believe that. I truly do believe that. And you got to believe in that, because if you don't,
what else you got?
What else you got? Yep. But I don't know. You got anything else? Yeah. I know this one was kind of a deep episode, guys, and we kind of went on one topic, but it's the truth. I mean, I believe that no matter what topic on Hot Topics we bring up, the underlining issue is they are trying to make you stay on the sidelines and not ever get in the arena. And
just be a consumer.
Be a consumer. Be fat. Include everybody. Act on your feelings. Have no family unit. Have no standards for yourself. Never strive for excellence.
Work hard.
And what? Why do you think they want a country full of people to be that way? Why? I'll ask you that. Why do you think that? Easily fucking controllable. And dependent. You are dependent. I don't care what anybody says. That is the whole cold hard truth. If you look on what's going on, it is done intentionally. It is done intentionally, and I believe it is to destroy the foundation of what made America America. Because they don't want America to stay America. They want America. They want one world government is what they want. They want to control everybody is what they want.
Work hard. Buy a lot of stuff. Get sick. Let the bureaucracy extract the wealth you've created, and then don't live a whole lot longer than that. That's a perfect consumer. That's a perfect consumer.
Yep.
Be a producer and don't be dependent.
Live for the weekends. I want you to live for the weekends. Live for the weekends. Work 9 to 5. Slave away. Don't strive for excellence. Don't strive don't be a healthy individual. And pass away when we want you to pass away and give me all your money. Don't set up anything for your kids. They don't like that. They don't like any of that. So that's going to pretty much wrap up the show, guys. I don't think this, this was a little bit of doom and gloom, but I think it was also just kind of a pep talk. It was a real talk.
Yeah, it's kind of a wake up because I feel like every once in a while, this is all stuff we all know, but sometimes it just is a little clearer. And like, I'll be honest, last night when I was sitting there and I was rolling through it, it hit me and I'm like, you know what? We need to have this conversation. That's what we're thinking about. That's what we're thinking about right now. And the only one that can change it is you. Everybody has got to make that decision for themselves. And
every single one of you matter. That's the thing.
Yep.
You all matter. What you do matters. And where you live and what your family unit is, it all matters. And it's a trickle effect. And I'm optimistic because I'm an optimist. I feel like we can change how things are done and we can bring this country back to greatness. It's just going to take some work. But I think everybody listening and everybody watching, and I know us, we can work and we can do it. So set the fucking standard and pay the fee. Go to farmergrade.com and go sign up for the email and be looking out for June 25th when the website goes live. 500 boxes.
We couldn't do any of this without you. We love doing it. We value each and every one of us. We value each and every
Thanks,
one
Dad.
Of you. I value you.
Yeah, I value you too.
And send your questions, your comments to barntalkshow@gmail.com. Leave us a review. We'll see you next time.